Jesus is good all the time, right? God is good all the time, all the time. You know, all the time, that's right. So this is the time to, I tell you, I'm encouraging you again to make things right with yourself, with God. Make things right with people. You know, be at peace with everybody. If you're married, love each other. It doesn't matter how long you've been married. Keep loving each other. The title of my message this morning is, Have You Lost Your Passion? Passion. Last week I talked a little bit about your passion for Jesus. I also touch on Halloween, and I talk about, you can go online and listen to it again. When Christians lose their passion for Jesus, they position themselves in, they will compromise. When you lost your passion for Jesus, you will compromise. You will reason with evil. When you compromise, I mean, when you lose your passion. And I've got a couple verses I want to read to start with. I'm going to start with Revelation chapter 3, verse 16. The reason why I want to start with that is because the more I'm studying this, I realize when believers, you know what, talking about it, I notice you guys are sitting more like in the center. That's awesome. Yeah, I like it. Okay, that's good. That's awesome. But yeah, that's, wonder if anybody's on Facebook checking my page or something like that, or the church page. I like it. Thank you. We're giving room for people that are coming. Then, you know, they can sit over there, they can feel the sides. A believer who lost their passion will be lukewarm. Listen to what it says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 16. But since you are lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. We will elaborate more on that later. But there's another verse, Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. It says, write this letter to the angel of the church in Ephesus. This is the message from the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand. The New King James would say the lampstand in his right hand. The one who walks among the seven gold lampstand. There it is. It says, I know your works. Everybody say works. Works. Anybody like works? I do. Yeah, some of us, we can't retire. I won't mention names. But it's all good. I think retiring is kind of retirement is like when you have nothing to do. That's like dying. Because you can't really not have anything to do. You know, you can retire, but you always have a purpose. You can't retire from being purposeful. You got to have a purpose in life. Okay? So, but we all love works. I mean, it's hard for me to shut my brain off. I'm always thinking. I always want to solve a problem. You know, some people are not like that, but most of us are like that. We want to solve a problem. We want to do something. You know, we want to fix something at the house. You want to do something, go somewhere, right? You want to renovate. It's good. I mean, from the verse's perspective, Jesus is saying to the church, I know your works. We just finished the mission month where we talk about our missionaries. We encourage you to pledge for mission, local mission, international mission. You know, we're doing Fall Festival. Why do we doing this? I mean, not only are we doing it for fellowship among ourselves, but we're doing it to create an atmosphere so the community, that's work. Right? That's work. It's good work. That's what Jesus is saying here. I know your works. I see what you do. Your labor, I see it. I see your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. Yes, we love everybody, but we will not call evil good here. We will call sin, sin. Okay? We will call good, good. We will call bad, bad. We will call men, men, women, women. Period. A chair is a chair. A keyboard is a keyboard. That's, you can't try to, there's no way around it. Period. If you see it different, I'm sorry, but you can't call the sun the moon. That's what it says here. Jesus says, I see you cannot tolerate evil. That's a church after Jesus' heart, right? That's good stuff. Can you imagine the church of Ephesus listening to this? I know your works, your labor, your patience, and I know that you cannot bear those, or you cannot tolerate those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not. Now listen to this. This verse means, I mean, this church knew God's word. So how will you be able to defer a true prophet from a false prophet? I mean, you don't have to answer, I'll tell you. I mean, it's a simple question. How do you know salty food from unsalty food? Well, it's simple. The food is salty. You taste it, right? And it's salty. You try another, you know, another dish, no salt. You're like, man, this thing has no salt. This church knew God's words, God's word. So the church in Ephesus knew exactly when a false prophet came up. And more than ever nowadays, we need to know God's word. So when somebody comes saying, oh, Jesus is coming back tomorrow. Yeah, Jesus is coming. He might come back today. But you remember this, there was a group back in the days. Jesus was supposed to come back some years past May 20-something. There was a big billboard in Haiti about Jesus coming back. You know, some people kind of try to sell their stuff. A bunch of people went up on the mountain waiting for Jesus. It's crazy. False prophet. But if you don't know the word of the Lord, how would you be able to know when someone is speaking falsely? Jesus is telling the church, oh, I see that you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not. And you have found them liars. Why? Because, what do they say? Your walk talk louder than your talk. Can I have a witness? What is that word? That word we were talking about the other day. Can I have a that was Kendra and I was practicing a word to bring to you. Can I have a big fat amen? Yeah. Oh, you can do better than that. Can I have a big fat amen? Yeah. Just have fun with it. Amen. That's right. Fat amen. Passionate amen. Well, I guess I'm talking about passion. We could use that. But, you know, it says here, and I've seen that you have found them liars. Why? Because you watch what they do. How do you know someone is a liar? They say something, they do something else. That's why a man of ethic is the same person behind doors. A man of ethic is the same person 2 a.m. when I'm at the beach. You should experience the same Ricardo whether I'm at church, I'm at work, I'm at the beach, you come to my house, midnight, I'm frustrated. You should experience the same Ricardo. That's character. A person of character is a person that doesn't change. You don't go like the, you don't take the weather's form. Now, on a different note, guys, I think the weather is rubbing on me. Because seriously, I feel like I'm excited about winter all of a sudden. This is the first year. I'm like, ah, that's all right. You know, it's good. It takes 4 years, actually. You know? But this is where Jesus says, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Oh. You've left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you've fallen. Repent and do your first works. Now, The Greek word here that talks about works is different from the first Greek word, from the first word works. In the same verse, two word works, but it means two different things. I'm going to show you. It says, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand. Lampstand, you know what happened. You're going to know what that means. Signs of lukewarm Christian. If you're lukewarm, I'm talking about, have you lost your passion? Signs of lukewarm Christian, you lost your passion. You lost your enthusiasm. Whatever, you got it. In other words, you've lost your interest. And enthusiasm is kind of fancy. Enthusiasm. Thank you, guys. You've lost your interest. When you lose your passion, you lost your interest. Compromising your faith, compromising your conviction will put you in the position to lose passion. Compromising, in Ephesians chapter 5, it says that's the only, it talks about husband and wife. It says the relationship between the church and Jesus, the relationship between a husband and a wife is the only relationship that links the church and Christ's relationship. So you can compare. As a matter of fact, it says husband loves your wife as Jesus loves the church. Wife, submit to your husband as the church submit to Jesus. I don't have to go to the dictionary for you guys to know what lukewarm means. Nobody like lukewarm coffee. Yeah. See? I don't either. I like it warm. But we don't want a lukewarm Dr. Pepper. We want a cold Dr. Pepper. But we're talking about a hot chocolate. We want it hot. Lukewarm is something that's moderately hot. It's... You can't do it. You're showing little interest. A lukewarm believer, you show little interest. Have you lost your interest for the things of God? Have you lost your interest for the things of God? Nothing creates burnout faster than losing your passion. Oh, I'm burnt out. I tell you, I'll never get burnt out in Jesus. Oh, you know what? I'll never get burnt out in my relationship for my wife. Every day with my wife is better than the day before. Every year with her. Why? Because I'm committed to her. I'm committed to pursue her heart. Whatever happened in the past, happened in the past. But right now, I'm not going to get married in heaven. I still got her. I'm going to go after her heart. And it's the same thing for her, too. She's intentionally going after my heart. I remember there was a time in my marriage, I hurt her so bad, I hurt her with my mouth. I told her things that break her heart. And then we became bitter. And then we lost our passion. And I remember the time I look at my wife, I'm like, man, we're not in love. I didn't want that. I look at her, I'm like, wow, we're not in love. And it looks like she lost interest because I've breaked her heart so many times. I've said things too many times. And she told me, she's like, well, you know what? I'm done. It's like, and I was actually afraid that she would just get on an airplane and leave. I'm like, no, I can't do that. And then I'm like, okay, Lord, I get it. Jesus, would you please forgive me? And I went to her. I said, would you please forgive me? She says, I forgive you. She says, I forgive you. And then I was on a mission to win her heart back with nothing in expect. I had nothing. I was expecting anything. I went after her heart. When you lose your passion for Jesus, how do you get it? Well, that's it. You read the word. You seek. You pursue. You pursue. Guys, I read it again in the Word. It says, Timothy, be careful. In the last days, people will lose their passion. Guys, we do not want to be a passionless church. I don't want to be a passionless follower of Christ. Passionless. I don't want to be that way. And I'm calling you, church, as Jesus is coming back. I'm going. Whether I'm dead or whether I die before the trumpet sound, or whether the trumpet sound, whatever happened, I am leaving. I'm going. And I want to make sure. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? I mean, we're going to miss Philip. Yes. But he's rejoicing. He's exactly where we all will be. We are all of us will die. What a hope. That's why we don't mourn like people who has no hope. Yes, I mean, yeah, we sad. You know, yesterday I was thinking about him. I was really sad. This morning I was driving here. I was picturing my time, my last time with Philip at the hospital. When we said goodbye, I said, sleep good, brother. He smiled and waved goodbye. He's like this. Remember, Sandra? It's like this. Good, beautiful smile. I'm going to miss him. But I rejoice for him. Yes. We do not want to be a passionless church. And guess what? You cannot ride on my passion. My passion is my only passion. You see, in our home, we have one water meter. And everybody's got their own bathroom. You open your faucets, you know, water. One water meter. But in the kingdom, guess what? You got to have your own meter. You gotta have your own electric meter. You can't hook on me. You cannot. I don't want to ride on other preachers' passion. Why do you think I spent time in the presence? That's why I said I'm not going to be a pastor, a burnout pastor. No. This is what it says here. Nothing creates burnout faster than losing your passion. Nothing creates burnout faster in a relationship when you lose your passion. Because when you lose your passion in the relationship, guess what? When you're away from each other, you're better. That's why the more you miss church, the less you miss church. So when you lose your passion for your mate, when you lose your passion in your marriage, the more you're away from each other, the less you miss each other. But then I hate when my wife goes away. I mean, I'm like crying. It's like, come on, baby. I'm getting better though. I'm getting better. Now I learn how to cook. When she tells me she's going away, we used to fight all the time. When she says, honey, I'm going here, I'm going to that, I'm like, why are you going? You know what I mean? So I make a big fuss. Why? Because I miss her already before she leaves. I feel miserable without her. That's the way it should be. If you're married, you feel like when each other is away, you're like, oh, yes, he's gone, she's gone. Man, you should repent, go back, find help. Find help. Because that means you've lost your passion for each other. Same thing. Have you lost your passion for the things of God? Have you lost your passion for church? When you talk about prayer, you're like, I'm not going. Have God put a gift in you to serve the body of Christ, and you're like, you know what, I'm burned out, I'm done, I'm, you know what, screw it. Jesus is going to ask you question for that call on your life. What will you have to answer him? None of us have to answer to each other. We will answer to God. And what will you tell him when he calls you and asks you about this? I really love the fact that the dictionary comes up with a lot of different words for the word lukewarm. And I find these two words very awesome. It's lukewarm, dispassionate, emotionless. Wow. Passionless, non-committal, a person who doesn't want to commit to anything. I said it here before, and I'm going to repeat it. You cannot retire in Jesus. Moses begin his call when he was 80 years old. If you're still breathing, you're still walking, don't quit. Let me tell you this. If you're still breathing, you're still walking, do not quit. Do not quit. That's the plan of the enemy for your life. He wants you to quit. He wants you to quit. He wants you to stop. Do not stop. Come on, I can never. I don't know how else to tell you this. Do not stop. Do not stop. Keep on going on. You feel like you're getting discouraged? Call me. Say, I feel like I want to quit. And I'll tell you. I'll drag you. I'll come pick you up. I'll call you. I'll be annoying. You know I can't. Passionless. Thank you, Becky. Thank you, Becky. I love you too. Passionless, the lack of emotion. Being passionless is a lack of emotion. I'm not afraid to express my love for my woman at home. I hug her. We hug each other. In public, I'm not afraid to sit by my wife. You know, just look what you guys are doing. It's awesome. It's like, it's showing passion. Show your passion. If you're married, show your passion for each other. You know, I love to see, you know, older couple, been married for 60 years. They walk in here, man, the guy's just like, yeah, man, I hear testimonies. Some of you guys here, you at home, you really helping each other. You know, when the other one is sick, you there with each other. Don't be like you stuck with each other. No, you want each other. I want my wife. She wants me. We want to be together. We're not gonna be in this passionless relationship. Now let me ask you this. You listen to me and you could be asking yourself, am I a lukewarm Christian? Are you a lukewarm Christian? That's a good question to write down if you have a notebook. And I want you to meditate on that. I hate for us to continue to be, you know, those patients who go to the doctor prescribes you something. And you go to the pharmacy, you buy the remedy, whatever the prescription is, and then you go home and you never take it. You never take it. You will die sooner. Don't do that with the word of the Lord. When the Lord's talking to you, make things right. Fix it. Time's short. Have you lost your passion? Are you lukewarm? Have you lost your interest for the things of God? Are you lacking emotion for the things of God? Is God even asking you to do something in the church and you're running away from it? That's a personal question. Has God put in your heart to serve in this church? What will you tell him? When he asks you, what have you done with my talent? What have you done with the talent I give you? What would you tell him? Oh, I know, excuse me, Lord, I know you weep where you don't sow. I know you're very harsh. You know, I just was very careful. So I took your talent, I dig a 5-foot hole, and then I buried it. So, Lord, here's your talent. Matthew 25, he says, you evil servant. Why didn't you take that talent, put it to the bank? You know what that means? I mean, the bank gives you nothing. Yeah. At least do something with it. Have you lost your passion? Have you lost your passion? How would you know if you're a lukewarm Christian? Well, let me ask you another question. How would you know if you have a fever? How would you know if you have a headache? Oh, how would you know if you have a backache? Oh, I pray that God will wake you up. I don't have to yell at you to be waking up. But I pray the Holy Spirit would just spark your spirit. Spark. That's the word I need. Spark your spirit. Pow! Dynamite! And then you can never be the same anymore. It's like, man, I've got this bubble of joy. I've got this excitement about Jesus. I cannot stop. I can't stop. And this world didn't give it to me. This world's not taking it away. Money didn't give it to me. Money's not going to take it away. Material position didn't give me that peace. What material position is not going to take it away? It goes on in the Bible, in Romans, it says, what can separate us then from that grace? What can separate us? And then the list goes on. You go check it out. Death. And it goes on, it says, the angels? Oh, it says nothing. Nothing can separate us from this love. You see, now, when you study this passage, Revelation chapter 2, there are the Greek word that translated the word love is protos agape. Protos. Protos means the things of God must be first. When Jesus said, I have this complaint for you, you have lost your first love. The word that translates that phrase is from the Greek is protos, which means God's love must be first. Whatever you put in the place of God will be first in your life. Agape. Agape is the only kind of love that does not require an emotion. That's why we don't serve God with your emotion. As a matter of fact, Romans chapter 8, verse 12. In Romans chapter 8, it says you have a debt, but you don't owe your body. Or you don't owe your body. Because sometimes your body will be like, I'm too tired. If your body ever wants to pray, I don't know about you, my body never wants to pray. Okay, and I'm a preacher, okay? I'm a pastor, I'm in the Word all the time. I pray all the time. But let me break it to you. My body, this physical body, never be like, oh, yes, let's go to pray. Yes. Oh, I'm so excited to go pray. Never. Never. Now, we are three-dimensional. We are spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. Your will, you, is your spirit. Now, my spirit is born again. So then, those three guys, they come together up here. My body, my soul knows who's the boss. My body and my soul, they know my spirit is the boss. That's why sometimes I want to choke somebody in the body, and the body and the soul really wants to choke, and the spirit is like, come on, you can't do that, man. The spirit's got this conversation between every. Sometimes my spirit is like, my spirit stands in line, is like, huh. Go for it. Let me watch you do it. Okay, you don't want to forgive? Okay, my spirit is talking to my body and my soul. Go, let me watch you do it. Come on. I mean, you know, you can't think. My spirit tells my soul, come on. My mind, my emotion. Man, come on. You know you can't think like that. And then, the more you grow like that, the more mature you become spiritually. Listen, how long you been serving Jesus? I don't know. You put the number in. You shouldn't be a baby Christian. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, I know some people, it happens. They've got like deficiency, whatever the word is. But can you imagine a grown-up man just rolling on the floor like a baby? Hey, mama. Hey. No, it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. Why? Because that's for babies, right? That's for babies. You know, when you go to exercise class, they say baby pause, you know? And then you get the baby pause, stretching class and whatever, you know? And then you're stretching and stuff. And sometimes it hurts, right? It doesn't hurt for the baby. Why? Because a baby do baby things. You see, in the Word, in Revelation chapter 2, Jesus says, I have this complaint against you. You have lost. You have fallen away from your first love. Oh, if you're not in love with Jesus, And you'd be like, well, what do you mean? I love Jesus. What does that mean to love Jesus? Are you passionate about him? Is Jesus first in your life? You know, when you study the Greek, you find 8 different words that translated love. You have eros, that's romantic love. Philia, that's affectionate love. But in this verse, none of those words, Greek words, mentioned. The only word that's mentioned is agape love. Agape is the only love that can love someone without an emotion. That's why in my relationship with my wife, sometimes I might not have the emotion, but then I keep being kind to the girl. Be nice to the girl. Be nice to the girl. Any guy being nice to any girl will automatically open her heart. Now, if you're like a dumbhead guy, yeah, you know, some of us are dumbhead guys, we think we're not being nice to the girl, and then we want to go and be intimate with her. No, that happened to prostitute. If you're married and the guy's not being nice to you, being kind to you, when he wants to be intimate, you tell him. You come around, you come back when you decide to be nice. That's what you tell him. And you say, Pastor says, Pastor taught me that. For married people here. And young people, you learn. Because we can't abuse each other. The same thing if the girl's not being nice. The girl must be nice to the guy. Be nice to the boy. Be nice to him. Revelation chapter 2. Jesus is saying, you have left your pontos, your agape. You have left your passion. So therefore, if you don't repent, I will remove your lampstand. You know the lampstand in this verse, what it means? This is what it means. It says, the Lord says, if the church doesn't go back to its first love, I will, it means I would no longer advertise that you are here. Because a lukewarm Christian is a bad advertisement for a good God. Lukewarm Christian, it's like, if you don't repent, if you don't go back to my first love, I will not advertise in this community that you're here. That's why church dies. That's why church people start leaving, because people that are looking for life, they're like, man, this church is dead. I've gone to church where it's like dead. There's no life. The spirit's not there. You know, you've got this guy, and then everybody's just like, they look like they're in really a bad funeral, somebody that's going to hell funeral, that kind of thing. You know, because everybody's like so sad. Everybody's so gloomy. Everybody's so grumpy. It's like, God bless you. No, I mean, God bless you, man. God bless you. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There's life. Come on. Some of you got to loosen up, lighten up, and live, man. It's good for you. You know what they say? 14 minutes of smiling in 24 hours a day will prolong your life. So make sure you smile, you know. You're driving to work. Look at your mirror. Smile. You know? It's good for you. It is good for you. It's good for you. It is good for you. Look, that's what it says. Jesus says, if you don't go back to your first love, I will come and I will remove your lampstand. That's why in here, I go after God's heart. Why do you think I do what I do? Why do you think we do what we do? Because we don't want to be a dead church. We don't want to be a lukewarm church. We want people, when they come out here, even online, we put these things online, even people tapping on, you know, my prayer online. I said, Lord, when we work on our Facebook website and YouTube, I said, Lord, whoever tap on this, use it, Father. Holy Spirit, you know, my soaking God, there are people looking for hope. Father, this is, I put it out there. Use it. Because we don't want to be dead. And for us not to be dead, we need to go back to our passion. Be passionate. Be passionate. Oh, Jesus is the biggest football team ever. Jesus, whatever you're rooting for, whatever you make noise for, Jesus is it. Be passionate about Jesus. How do you, put discipline. I was telling you, when I lost my passion in my relationship with my wife, that's when I made the decision to date her every week. Still today, I date my wife. Every week, we see each other. I mean, it's crazy. We live in the same house. Busy, busy, busy. The whole week happened. Yeah, we sleep on the same bed. But then it's like there's no heart-to-heart connection. And there's something she started doing with me. Tuesday, you know, we go home. We don't go out, spend money. You know, it's just like being intentional. Now, I told you, I'm learning how to cook. So therefore, when she goes away, I'm not suffering. So therefore, on Tuesday night, I make it, well, let's just make food, right? I begin to be like, well, let's just make food. And then I'm in the kitchen, you know, I'm doing things. I'm doing pretty good, right, Kendra? Yeah. So I'm learning, and I'm in date night, what? And then she comes up with this question. So how was your day? At first, you know, us men, very simple. Good. The day is either good or bad. Now, if you want details, you got to tell me, well, you know what, 10 o'clock, what did you do? Did your meeting go so good? You got to fill up the, give me the questionnaire, okay? Well, but when you ask me how was my day was either in good category or bad category, okay? But now I'm learning. So in date night, this is where the connection began. When she says, how was your day? Oh, I tell you, and then I tell her. I said, well, yeah, you know, I got to the church at 8 o'clock, and I opened my computer. You know, me and Kathy, this is what we did. We got this email. And then I feel like I'm talking for 45 minutes. Like, guys, don't talk much. Because I realize the more I talk, it opens her heart. See, that's what a smart guy does. It opens her heart. And then I don't even ask her, so, how was your day? No. I don't even have to do that because her heart's already open. She's like, well, this morning I went to this, I went to that, I went to this. Now it's like the dumb head guys, they think, man, this woman talks too much. No. Listen, Mark Gunger said that. I'm going to quote him on that one. He said, you don't have to fix her. You don't have to say anything. The only thing you got to say is, just make sure she knows that you're listening. Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. Really? This person was driving like that? Oh, man, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. Just give that little, yeah. Man, guys, it's so simple. Amen? Right? Can I have a witness, guys? Okay, all right. I've got a couple guys anyway. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus is giving you a warning. He says he doesn't want us to be a lukewarm church. Because if we are lukewarm, what would it do? He would stop advertising. You see, I don't do advertisement. I mean, we did a couple times. But the real advertisement for God's church is to be passionate about God. Amen. A real advertisement for God's church is a group of people madly in love with God, madly in love in covenant with each other. Here we do membership. Membership, that's a bad word, all right? Because back in the days, people abused the word membership. But what we mean is being in covenant. We are in covenant with God, and we are in covenant with each other. We're family. You're my family. I mean, Philip is my brother. Sandra is my... I'm hurting. That's the mindset. That's the mindset. You know, people come to church. They don't want to commit because they don't understand covenant. And then when they are in trouble, they're like, well, where was the church? Well, where were you? Were you in relationship with us? You never commit. You never says, you know, you commit to me. Why would you expect me to commit to you? Well, I'm here. We'll help anybody who asks for help. But don't expect we are in a marital covenant when we were never married. The same thing with Jesus. People think, oh, I'm in trouble. Jesus, oh, this bad Jesus, man, you didn't show up. Jesus is like, man, well, I don't know you, man. What are you talking about? Yeah, you grew up in church. There's a big difference between growing up in church and growing up in Jesus. Amen. Growing up in covenant with Jesus. When you grow up in covenant with Jesus, I tell you, nothing can take you away from Jesus. says, I'm giving you a warning to get your first love back. And I believe Jesus is giving us as Restoration Church a warning. Get our first love back. Get your first love back. Be in love with Jesus. Serve him. Serve the church. I thank God for all of you who are serving already. Don't quit. There's no retirement. I thank God for you, Walt. You've been serving us forever. I thank God for you, Dave. You guys, you Pauline, man, you guys are in the background doing amazing things. I thank God for all of you. Don't quit. When you quit, God will call you home. I'll never get rid of you as long as you're breathing. And you guys are amazing. So that mindset, I want to quit, that's the work of the enemy for you. This is a big deal to Jesus. That's why he said to the church, come back. And then I'm going to continue next week. But I also want to right now take time to give you time to respond to God's word. Are you a lukewarm Christian? I'm going to ask Alyssa to come play for me. Are you a lukewarm Christian? Guys, I'm inviting you to go in your heart, deep in your soul. The Lord is speaking his word. And I tell you, I prayed about this, and I know God is speaking to all of you here. And if there are things that you need to repent from, I'll invite you to come to the altar. And let me remind you again, the altar is not a place of shame, but it's a place to make things right. Maybe you're fine with Jesus, but maybe your passion for him needs to be rekindled. Just come to the altar, kneel before him, make a bold decision. Or maybe your marriage, your relationship with your mate really need mending. You respond to the Lord's word this morning. Alyssa, just find a song and sing it for me. And as we sing, just respond to the word of the Lord. They say, a message from the Lord is worth responding to. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Jesus, my
right now, I won't be there here next time. Yeah, that's right. Next time, at the end of the month. At the same time, I believe the Holy Spirit is putting in your right in front of you some of the necessary steps you must take to rekindle your passion. You don't want to live a passionless life. A Christian life without passion. Now, if you do, it says Jesus will come. If you don't repent, He will come and remove. Remove His favor. Wow. He says, I will remove the lampstand. I will stop advertising. I will stop bringing favor. Wow. Man. This is a scary thing, guys. The Lord's giving us a warning. As the love of many are growing cold, God is calling you to into deeper intimacy with Him. Deeper intimacy with Him. You discipline yourself. You go after God's heart. You'll never have time. You'll never find time for the things that are good for you. You'll never find time to spend with Jesus. You'll never find time for His word. You'll never find time to fast. You'll never find time for church. You have to be intentional. You have to make a decision. Follow Him, to pursue Him, pursue His heart. He's coming back, and I love it. He says, and people, those who remain faithful, He says, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless we repent. So Father, we repent this morning. I invite you to just stand in the presence of God. Father, we repent. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Father, for allowing other things taking your place, for allowing work, for allowing the busyness of life, for even allowing the enemy cause us sometimes, yeah, we tired, but we never tired to sit and watch a movie for 3 hours after we work for 9 hours. We never tired to go out party, to go out hang out with our friends after an 11-hour work. We never tired, but Father, we tired to come to prayer. We tired, we exhausted to come to a once a month prayer meeting. Lord, forgive us. We repent. And this morning, Holy Spirit, not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit. Your word says, I can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. So we choose to rely on the strength of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the Spirit of God gives self-control. So this morning, Lord, we thank you for self-control. We thank you for giving us the will. It says it is the Spirit that works and creates the desire. Lord, we thank you that you create the desire and you give us the will. We're not powerless people. We're powerful people. We are people with self-control. We are disciplined people. We are your disciple. A true disciple of Christ is a person full of discipline. So, Father, we thank you for not holding our past against us, but we thank you for giving us the warning. We thank you for sounding the alarm. You're saying, hey, come on, wake up. It's time to go back to your first love. It's time to be passionate again. It's time to take back what the enemy has stole. Lest you do that, lest you repent, I'll stop advertising. Lord, as for me in this church, we will not be lukewarm. As for me, not by might, in the mighty name of Jesus, as for me in this church, in my house, we will serve you. We will follow you. Oh, we will more than ever be devoted to your word. Be devoted to holiness. Be devoted, God, to you. Jesus, we love you, Father. We thank you for what you've done here today. We thank you, Lord. And Father, as we go forth from here, lift up your hands in the presence of the Lord. As we go forth from here, may your favor rest upon us. Lord, I bless these, your sons and your daughters. I rebuke the work of the enemy over their lives. We will not die before our appointed time, because I know the work of the enemy, the plan is to kill, steal, and destroy. But God, as we lift our hands before you, may your favor go before us. May we bless in our coming and in our going. May we be known as radical people for the Lord. May we be known as radical people for you, Jesus. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you, not only for this moment, but for eternity. In Jesus' name, and God's people says, amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Be blessed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Make it a great day and a great week.